Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our two scripture passages this morning, one is from Psalm 107. You are welcome to follow along using your pew Bible, which is located in the pews on page 750. I'll be reading selected verses. Hear now these words. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert waste, finding no way to an inhabited town, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and God delivered them from their distress. God led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. God turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the wickedness of its inhabitants. God turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water, and there God lets the hungry live, and they establish a town to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. Our second reading is not a gospel reading. It is actually an epistle reading. My apologies for the typo in the bulletin. I invite you to turn to 1 Thessalonians, which is located in the New Testament. Your pew Bible is marked with 1438. I'll be reading from the second chapter, verses 9 through 13. You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was toward you believers. As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. These are the words of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, on this day where we remember those from the past, as we stand here in your present and anticipate your good future, allow your words to speak truth into our lives, that we may hear with fresh ears what you would have us hear today. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So what does this mean? So this book of Psalms, the psalm this morning, really speaks to this idea of folks crying out to God in their places of need. That they were thirsty and they were hungry and they were in desolate land and they needed some place to live, to be cared for, to be tended to, and they cried out to God. And we see that the power of God is capable of creating water springs from parched lands, that God is able to put them into a place where they are fruitful and that they are able to have the sustenance that they need. And I wonder sometimes if we ourselves find ourselves parched and in need of the living water, if we find ourselves hungry for something that will not just fill our bellies, but sustain us for the long haul. What is it that we can then call out to God for that can meet those very basic needs for us? Well, we call out because we trust that God's steadfast love endures forever. And it makes me think of one of those contemporary Christian songs that we sing at vacation Bible schools sometimes, that God's steadfast love endures forever. Can you hear it with me? I'm not going to sing it because I value your ears. But you're welcome to look it up and find it. But this idea that they have been singing this truth that God's love has been there from the very beginning, was there in their need of thirst and hunger, and is still with us today. It's that steadfast love that Paul is speaking to in his letter to the church in Thessalonica, where he is telling you, you have seen us bear the word of God to you, to be witnesses to that, to show you, not for our own purposes, but that you may come to believe, not in words and human understanding, but to truly and experience it and feel it within. That it is God's truth, God's word that will come and abide in you and help you grow and to live and to be quenched of your thirst and to be sated for your hunger and to be encouraged and strengthened in your life. I always wish that I had one of those Staples easy buttons. Kathy asked me this morning, she said, I heard you moved. Are you all settled in? And I'm like, no, because it's a process, right? Like you have to pack up all your stuff and move it and then unpack it all and try to figure out where it's going to go and then simultaneously try to make it look nice in case anybody comes to my, you know, to your house, to my house. I'm like, no, I'm not ready. Not ready for visitors, right? Has anybody experienced that myself? Yeah. And then you realize how much stuff you're carrying that you may not need. And then you have to wrestle with, what do I keep? What do I let go of? What do I keep and what do I let go of? It's similar to what Paul is saying, is let go of the things that bind you to the world and cling to what is true from a God who loves you. And as I think about our youth and our adult leaders that are going to pilgrimage and this journey that they take, that, you know, this whole excitement and just this reality that we are launching them from this place to go to a new, last year it was new, totally different venue, never been there before, a new experience. And yet there's a level of familiarity because of the people that went and the people that were there. And some of the patterns of their life for those 3 days together. But they're being sent out to bear witness to what they are learning here at Holly Springs. That when they come in together in the community with other youth from throughout the conference, that they will tell stories of, hey, do you remember when? And do you remember this? And cannot wait for X, Y, Z. Because some of these youth have been together, even though they live in different places and are serving in different churches, they come together and there's this love that binds them together that can only come from God. And they are pilgrims and they are sojourners in this journey of faith. This journey that they are taking, this journey that they continue, is not possible without others who have shown them the way. Let me say that again. Their ability to go and do what they are going to do is not possible had others not shown them the way. And when I say the way, I mean the truth of Christ, the love of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, that it is the word that they embody and go out. But that word has been embodied by other persons, whether it be their parents, their extended family, their youth group leaders and mentors, teachers at school or in community in whatever activity they're involved in. Somebody else has given them a glimpse, a sense of what this life in God's steadfast love can look like. And it is that same pattern of showing and following that connects and binds us now today. that we come together to recognize those who have already accepted the work, the word, and have finished their journeys. Well done, good and faithful servants of God. We all have a moment where we maybe are wandering blindlessly. I'm thinking about children, and yet I think children have a more profound understanding of faith and belief in God than even adults do. And yet I'm looking at parents of young children and how you bring them here and trust them into our care that they may grow in their faith, and that you too may grow in how you parent them in their faith. And eventually we're going to have to launch them and let them go. That terrifies me. Launch them and let them go. I'm looking at some of those who've already launched children out, and we hope that we have raised them well. We hope that they will make good choices. I just think about the words of, make good choices. Are you sure that's a good idea? And if you get into trouble, you can always call home, right? And I think that's true for God as well, that God hopes that we embody the word, that we can live our lives faithfully, that we can step out and bear witness to Christ in ways that are just through our actions, our words, and how we relate to one another. And then there are times, friends, where we just don't do it well, that we make bad choices, and thank goodness God welcomes us back and folds us into the loving embrace of God and pours more grace into us to help us live into that word. Have you accepted the word, not the human word, but the word of God? And what I mean by that is Jesus, your guide. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Is Jesus the one that we model and you model your life of to feed the hungry, to make sure that those who are thirsty are tended to clothe those who are in need, to shelter those who need a place, to visit the sick and the lonely and those imprisoned? That's what Jesus calls us to. And it is a difficult and yet glorious journey when we accept the word of God. So friends, remember that God's steadfast love endures forever, that God's grace is enough, and you are loved. You are so very loved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.